church. People always joke they come to church two times a year. One is on Christmas and the other is on Easter. Well, next week is one of those times. And if they're going to go, and if you can ever squeeze them and pressure them to go, you probably can get away with it next week. And if you'll bring them, we'll make sure that we don't continue our study in Ephesians, but that we stop and we'll reflect about the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ and bring a gospel message. Right up front. Boy, that's really close. I like that. So work on bringing some unsaved friends next week. And let's have a gospel presentation. The back of the bulletin, there's a statement there. How can they hear unless they have a preacher? But if you read on in the context, it says, and how shall they preach unless they be sent? Almost every other time, we got to go to the unsaved and share the gospel. And that means not just me, that means you becoming a preacher and sharing the gospel. But there's one time you can get them to come, and so take advantage of it while you can. You bring them in next week. Wednesday night, we're studying about the crucifixion of Christ, and it just happens to be that point in our study of the book of Matthew. So you'll get more details about the cross that day. We're not going to talk about Palm Sunday today, as it's traditionally called, and it is 1 week before the Lord rose from the dead that he did enter into Jerusalem to declare himself their king. When he arrived, they said, "Who is this?" And it's just days later that they crucified him. And so we are at that time of the year, and we will talk more about the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ next week. But today we're studying the book of Ephesians. So take your Bible, Ephesians chapter 5. And it was difficult for me last time to actually spend the last half of the message addressing the children, but we're going to do it not... I didn't finish the things that I had to say then, and I thought, well, I can't really get into verse 4. I'm just going to cover verses 1 through 3 today. And just spend the time addressing the children. By the way, on the way in, I turned on the radio, and I guess the Pope declared Palm Sunday. He dedicated it to the children. Well, he didn't know that I dedicated the children before him. And this is not a mandate of the Pope. This is the leading of the Holy Spirit at Grace Bible Church in our studies through the book of Ephesians. And it was my thoughts to do this. What a coincidence. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, that thou mayest live long upon the earth." Let's pray. Our God and our Father, we pray that we'll be able to say some things today that will reach all ears of all ages that are present in this auditorium. Father, we pray that your will would be done, not just in the book that's written that tells us your will, and won't just be done in the future when you make all things right, but Father, it'll be done first in our heart this very day, and then we'll live your will throughout our life. We do pray for our children here, because they need to overcome some real obstacles in this world, and we pray that your word will give them the strength to do it. We ask this in the Savior's name, for his sake. Amen. It is interesting to me that when you consider Ephesians and Colossians, Colossians talks about, he tells the Colossian people to have the epistle of Colossae read. Now there's three cities, Colossae, Ephesus, Laodicea, they're all close together. He tells them in Colossae to read the letter that he writes, the book of Colossians, and also when they get the letter from Laodicea to read that. And everyone's looking all over for the letter of Laodicea because that's not a letter we have in the Bible. But it's been suggested, and I presume it is, that the letter from Laodicea is the church of Ephesus sent their letter over to Laodicea, and after it leaves Laodicea, it's going to go to Colossae, and they're going to read it. The letter from Laodicea is the book of Ephesians that they got from the city of Ephesus. My point to you is that when they get together to read it, it's amazing to me that when you start out Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right," that's God in a letter addressing children. And had they practiced junior church in Laodicea, or in Ephesus, or in Colossae, the children would be downstairs in junior church with a puppet giving them a little story, and they would miss God speaking to them. And apparently, God expects the children to be assembled together with the adults to have the Word of God preached to them. Now, it could be done separately, but I just looked at that and I realized always in Scripture did the children sit with the parents and learn from the parents what the things were important. And as they're doing that, lo and behold, God addresses the children. And that's why I've asked the children to sit close and to sit next to an adult with a Bible open so that they can see that God has some things to say to them. And we talked about the first two things that he has to say to them. The first one is in verse 2. The first one is in verse 1. Obey your parents. And the reason for doing that, it's right. And the second thing that he says is honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. So God would say to children that there's two things you need to concentrate on during your childhood years. And that is, to number one, to obey your parents, and number two, to honor your parents. We talked about obedience being a positive response to what your parents say. That is, when they give you a command, you're to do what they said, and positive means you do it. If they tell you to take out the trash, you take out the trash. They tell you to make the bed, you make the bed. They tell you to go to bed, you go to bed. Obedience is a positive response to authority. And the parents are the authority that the children were given. We know in the wisdom of God that he has a reason for that, and that at an early age you begin to learn that there's authorities over you all your life. And always are you to obey the authority that's over you. And God even instructs your parents to obey the authorities that are above them. But, you know, to obey means that you have to have a willing spirit. That is, when your parents say something, you don't decide in your heart and in your mind, should I do it? Do I want to do it? Obedience is a willing spirit to do what your parents said instead of being self-willed. And that self-willed is, I don't want to take out the garbage. I don't want to go to bed. I don't want to do my homework. We're not talking about your will. Obedience is in your heart saying, I will do what my parents said. And so it's obedience from the will, and it is a ready mind. Now, those who have the Bible, turn over to Titus. And this one is mostly for the adults to see. Titus chapter 3. Because obedience has to do with willingness to do what's been told to do because it's right. And then the second thing, it has to do with readiness to do it. I mean, before they even ask you, you have to decide in your heart, am I willing to obey my parents? And then I'm ready to obey my parents. And then when they tell you to do it, you'll do it. If you don't first decide to do it, and you're not ready to do it, then there's all kinds of problems when the parents ask you to do something and you don't do it. But you know, that readiness is something God appreciates. We learned in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 20 that when it says the same thing, it says, for it's well-pleasing to the Lord. God loves someone who is willing and ready to do the things that even he has to say to them to do. And that's what Titus says in chapter 3 and verse 1. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. Ready. Ready to do what's good. Ready to do what's right. And all of that is involved in obedience. It has to do with doing, acting out what was commanded. Now just stay there in Titus for a second. I'll just remind you that the second thing that it says in Ephesians, and that is to honor your parents. Now, it's well-pleasing for you to obey your parents. And come with me just back to the book before Titus, to 2 Timothy. And I want to introduce you to a young man who can be a testimony to every one of us. Before I bring his testimony in, when we talk about obeying parents, I want you kids to understand that what we're talking about in being obedient to parents is something that you're going to see less and less in your life. And if you watch your friends, you'll probably have friends that aren't very obedient to their parents. And this is the reason why. Most of us adults believe that we're living in the last days. And it says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. Now kids, that means they don't want to share anything. They only want. Gimme, 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 I want. Well, the gimme part is the next one, covetous. That is, they got to have all kinds of things. They want all kinds of toys. They want all kinds of gifts. They want everything for them. They're selfish. They're boasters, they're proud, they're blasphemers. That means they speak against God. Disobedient to parents. And in the last days, things are going to get real bad, that the most of the people are going to be these things. They're going to love only themselves, and they're going to be covetous. They're going to love materialism, getting all kinds of things for themselves. But among the list of things that they're going to do, they're going to be disobedient to parents. Which tells me that you need to really concentrate hard on being obedient. That you're not going to become part of the evil days that are going to come upon this earth. You're going to have to be different than your friends. And you're going to have to be willing to be different than your friends. Because they're going to be disobedient to parents, and then it says unthankful. That is, they're not willing to give thanks to God for the things that they have. They just want everything, and they don't even give thanks for it. And then they're unholy. That is, they don't even do things that are right before God. They live sinfully. And so in the last days, those times are going to come upon the earth. But now look down in verse 14. It says, but continue thou, now Paul's writing to Timothy, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child. You know what a child is? We defined it last time, and just in as far as the context of what we're talking about, children, be obedient to your parents, we're talking about a child who lives at home and is under the support and rule of their parents. So if you live at home, whether you're 18 years old, or if we got a one-year-old here, I don't know if we got a one-year-old here, or down to one-year-old, if you're still under the support and the rule of your parents, you're in their home, then the Bible's calling you a child. It doesn't make a difference between a child and a teen and so forth. But when Paul writes to Timothy, he says to remember the things that Paul taught Timothy, but some people taught Timothy before Paul. It says in verse 15, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith that is in Christ Jesus. From the time Timothy was a child under his parents' rule, he was taught the Holy Scriptures. And the Holy Scriptures are said to make him wise unto salvation. Now definitely, if you want to know how to have your sins forgiven, it's the Bible that's going to tell you how to have your sins forgiven. If you want to know how to keep out of trouble in this world, it's the Bible that's going to keep you out of trouble. It's the Bible who, when you talked about perilous times coming and people are going to be disobedient, that in light of that, Paul says to Timothy that thou from a child hast known the Holy Scriptures that are able to make thee wise unto salvation. Not just save him from his sins, not just save him from going to hell, not just save him so that he has eternal life, but save him from a whole lot of heartache in this life and a whole lot of problems in this life. And a whole lot of deception that the devil will throw at you, lies that the devil will throw at you. The Bible will make you wise unto salvation. And so, kids, with a Bible in your hand and parents who can show you some things from the Bible, you can be wiser than your friends, and you don't have to be like your friends, and you can be different. So the Bible told you first to obey your parents, and then it said to honor. Obey has to do with action. They say it, do it. Don't think about it. Don't decide if you want to. Do it. But when it says honor, we're talking about your attitude toward your parents. It's the attitude of respect, an attitude of reverence, that an attitude of fear, an attitude of regard, an attitude of to think highly of them. You're not to think low of your parents. You're supposed to think highly of them. You're supposed to respect their authority as adults. You're supposed to properly fear that if you do wrong, uh-oh, my dad is going to get me. My mom is going to find out. That fear ought to be in you. And you ought to have that kind of fear about doing wrong and what will your parents think and what will they say if you do something wrong. That's part of honoring your parents. You know what's part of honoring your parents? Is their counsel. That is, when they sit down and explain some things to you and tell you about some things that you shouldn't do and why you shouldn't do them, that you would value what they have to say. And as a child, to honor your parents is to value their wisdom because they're older. Now, teenagers never believe this, but when you tell your teenager that, look, I was young once, I understand what you're going through, a teenager will respond probably even before a parent says that. A teenager will say, oh, you don't understand nothing, and go take running off. And kids, when the next time you say that to your parent, look at their face and watch them smile. The reason they're smiling, they said the same thing to their parents when they were a teenager. And now they know that, yeah, I totally understand your frustration. I understand that you don't think I understand what it's like to be a teenager, but I really do. You don't know, I've been there. that the teenager hasn't been an adult yet. And when he becomes an adult and he has a teenager, that teenager will say, "You don't understand," and run off. And you'll smile at your teenager and realize you've got to give him a little space, but you do absolutely understand what it's like to be a teenager. Now, we go through different problems, but we all go through life, and there's some similar things. And so I would advise all children, all the way up, let your parents give you wise counsel, and honor your parents by listening to it. Now, kids, let me tell you that I told you last time is this world will tell you that you have reasons to disobey your parents. You were brought up wrong. Maybe your mom and dad got a divorce. Maybe your mom and dad fight a lot. Maybe your dad's away at work a lot, and so he's not around. And therefore, they say that's the reason why you're angry and frustrated and you do bad things. And I told you last time, don't let them give you an excuse. God says, do right. So don't let them tell you that it's okay to do wrong because you got an excuse. No, you can choose to do right. But don't let the world tell you, too, to look down at your parents. Your dad is not a Homer Simpson. And your mom is not, what's her name? Marge? Your mom's not a Marge Simpson. You know the Simpson family, perhaps, on TV. And dad, he's just a knucklehead. And mom's a dingbat. And Homer, the little Simpson boy, what? Bart, yeah. He's smarter than his parents. And his parents are just a bunch of jerks and dumb, and they don't know nothing, and they're stupid. And you know, there's a world, our world is trying to say that about your parents, but that's not right. And that's not true. And don't believe that. Highly esteem your parents. God said two things. Obey your father and mother, and honor your father and mother. And don't let anybody tell you to do anything else. Now, last time we got together and talked about these things, I said, based on those two things, that you need to make some decisions in your life. And I challenged every young person to make a decision in their life that week to choose to do right. What's the second decision? Anybody remember it? These kids weren't here, so they're off the hook. Anybody else remember the second one? If Colossians says that doing these things is well-pleasing to the Lord, the second thing is to choose to please the Lord throughout your life, to honor the Lord, to make some decisions to do right and to honor the Lord all your life. And then I said this time when we get together, we're going to talk about what if we don't do this. Now, I've already pointed out Timothy, who was taught very young. But let me point this out to you about Timothy. Come to chapter 1 of 2 Timothy. And he did right from a youth. And this is interesting. It says in verse 4 of 2 Timothy chapter 1, it says, Paul writes to him, it says, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. Now this is a letter that Paul wrote to Timothy. And apparently when Paul left Timothy, Timothy cried. Now, he's not a boy, he's not a child anymore, he grew up, he's a young man. But Paul, when he thinks of Timothy, he's just thrilled the fact that there was that close relationship between Paul and Timothy. It says in verse 5, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith, that is, non-hypocritical faith, real faith, which is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in thee also. Paul, when he says to Timothy, he says, you know, the things that you believe and you stand for as a young man, those are the things that your grandma stood for and the things your mother stood for, and now you're standing for them. Timothy had made some decision in his young life when he was taught the scriptures from a child to believe the things that he was taught. Notice who his teachers were. Timothy doesn't look like Timothy had a dad who was a believer. In fact, the Bible tells us his dad was a Greek, which means he's not a person who would have studied the Bible. And as a Gentile before Paul, he would be an unsaved man. We don't ever hear about Timothy's dad getting saved. We don't even hear about Timothy's dad being around. He might have been around. I don't know that. But you know what? You can't use an excuse that, well, my dad wasn't a good example to me. Or maybe my dad's unsaved, or maybe my dad's not around. Or maybe it's the other way that your mom is all the other things. Timothy didn't have the ideal home to grow up in, and yet the faith that was in grandma and the faith was in mom became the faith that was in Timothy. And he made some decisions to live for the Lord. Now Paul says to him, Wherefore, in verse 6, you in remembrance that you stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting of my hands. Timothy is now supposed to go out and preach. It says in verse 7, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. When you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, what God can do in your life is not give you a life where you're always afraid of things. But God can work in your life to give you power. And that is strength and ability to do things He wants you to do. Love. He can teach you to love people. And you don't have to get that just from your mom and dad and others. You can get it from the Bible. And He can give you a sound mind. A mind that when you think about making decisions, you can make right decisions rather than wrong decisions so that your life will go better. It says, be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me His prisoner, but be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Paul said, now Timothy, don't be ashamed of me, and don't be ashamed of God. The things that you learn from me, Timothy, go out and preach it, and don't be ashamed of the Lord. Go out and live for Him and serve Him. And I would say to you young people that you can make that decision young in your life because God gave you not a spirit of fear. You don't have to be afraid to stand up for Him. He's given you a spirit of power. You can be a bold Christian at a young age. He's given you a spirit of love. You can love people and share the gospel with them. He's given you a spirit of a sound mind. You don't have to be scared and following the crowd and getting into things that bring fear and scaredness in your life. You can do the right things and choose to do those right things. And so don't be afraid of the things that you've learned from the Bible and about the Lord and go out and serve Him. Now, Timothy learned those things, but as I was about to say, come back to Ephesians. Paul says something here when he says these things. And what you're going to find out in life, that you can make right decisions and right things will happen because of it. But if you make wrong decisions, bad things happen every time you make a wrong decision. Now, they don't come because God makes them go bad. They go bad because you made a wrong decision. And Paul says this, and we made the statement, if you don't make a decision in your life to do right and to honor the Lord, to do things that are pleasing to the Lord, that I'll tell you what will happen if you don't. And that's what we're going to do today, is study what will happen if you don't. It says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Now, God said this in the Ten Commandments, to honor your father and mother. But this is the first time that when He said do it, He added a promise that if you do it, something will happen. And Paul tells us that in verse 3, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. If you'll obey your parents and honor your father and mother, it will go well with you, and you may live long upon the earth. See, the thing is if you choose not to obey your father and mother, and not to honor your father and mother, it won't go well with you, and you may not live long upon the earth. Now, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying God's going to kill you if you don't obey your parents and don't honor them, but it's already in the works that these things are true. For instance, and this is for the adults, you know that it doesn't, verse 3 is not said in Deuteronomy chapter 20. Was it verse 16? I got my reference here. It's verse 12. But what Paul is saying is found, it's not found in Exodus 20, verse 12, where the first commandment is given. What Paul is saying is found in Deuteronomy 5, verse 16. Now, if the adults will think about that a little bit, you'll understand some things. See, in Deuteronomy, in Exodus, that's the first time God gave the commandment. He did say that thou mayest live long in the land that God is going to give to the nation of Israel. But in Deuteronomy, He said that it may be well with thee and that thou may live long in the land. He added one. Well, you know, the first generation of the, listen to this, children of Israel who came out of Egypt were not obedient to God and did not honor God in their life. And you know what? When you study about that first generation of the children of Israel, they didn't have it so well. It didn't go well with them, and they didn't live long. In fact, when Paul repeats Deuteronomy in chapter 5 and verse 16 there, he's now saying it to the next generation. Do you realize that other than Caleb and Joshua, no one was more than 58 years old? Everybody that's older than 58 years old, except for Joshua and Caleb, was dead in Israel. Why? They didn't obey the Lord, and they didn't honor the Lord, and they were to be like his children. And as a result of that, it didn't go well. They were bit by snakes, and they had all kinds of problems, and they lived in a wilderness all their life. And then they died at a real young age. So when Paul writes Deuteronomy, he says not only that you may live long in the land, but he also says that it may be well with thee. Why? Because there's some consequences when you don't obey the Lord. Now, every kid would understand this, that if your parents say, don't play kickball in the street, or if the ball goes in the street, don't go get it, come and get me. They say that because they know that you're not too good at looking both ways in the street, especially if you're young, or if you're short, you can't look past the car that's in the street and really see if there's a car coming or not. And you're liable to be playing ball and be so excited about ball, it's your turn to kick next, and that ball goes in the street, and boom, you go right off in the street. And your parents know there's a chance there's a car coming down that street. If you've learned at a young age to obey your parents and the ball goes in the street, you hit the corner and you stop. And you go, I'm not allowed to go in the street. And if you obey your parents, you may live longer. Because if you disobey your parents and say they'll never know and you dart out in that street, what could happen? You could get hit by a car, couldn't you? And so you may live long upon the earth by obeying your parents. What I want you to understand is we're not talking about God seeing that you did something wrong and God reaching down and causing a car to hit you or causing you to break your leg or causing you to get a disease and dying. We're not talking about God doing those things. Your parents, God gave you into the care of your parents, and your parents know what's right, and so they've told you some things that you don't understand. All you got to do is know to obey. And if you obey, things will go well. You might get hit by the car if you don't obey, and you might not die, right? But you might have a couple broken legs and a busted arm and a scraped up face, and that's not going to go well, is it? So you realize the Bible does know exactly what it's talking about, and when you obey it, things will go better for you. Now, when you talk about that, I want to show you something that not only does God say that that's true, that's still true today, obeying your parents so things will go well, and you may live long upon the earth. But you know, under the law, God was going to make sure that children obeyed their parents. And I want you to see this, because you might not think that these things are important to God, but they were and are. They still are. Come over with me to Exodus in chapter 21. Exodus chapter 21. Now, in Exodus chapter 21, he's already said in chapter 20 to obey your parents. Now, in chapter 21, he tells what to do if you don't, and these verses are amazing. It says in chapter 21, in verse 15, and kids, you need to look at the verse. So if so, adults there, let them point to the verse and look at it. It says, he that smiteth, now that means to hit. Sometimes your parents give you a spanking. Sometimes they have to smack your mouth. Something came out wrong. Mom was good at that one. I remember that. It says, but now this is turned around now. He that smiteth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. Now, there was a time that God's law ruled the land. And he told the nation of Israel how to keep evil so that their society wouldn't be evil. Our society is going to become evil. We just read the verse. In the last days, perilous times will come. And that is because they have their own laws and they make up their own rules and they disregard God totally. Now, God today wouldn't even have us kill the child, but as far as his law, when he rules, this will be the law. And what he says, that if a child smacks their parents, to put the child to death. You begin to understand why it may go well with you and you'll live long if you're obedient to parents. Because if you're too unruly, you're not going to live to be an adult under the law. And so he says such things. Look at verse 17 of the same chapter, 21:17. He that curseth father or mother. Okay, I know better and raise my hand and hit my parents. But they're not around, and I'm going to swear and call them names and everything else. curse parents, wish they were dead, say evil things about them. He that curseth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death. God's not playing any games. There is no doubt in God's mind that if they'll hit their parents and if they'll curse their parents, they're going to grow up to be people that will be offensive in society and will murder people in society and will rob people in society. And these people aren't going to have a chance to enter into society because they're going to be taken away in their youth when they're becoming disobedient to parents. So God, he's really against cursing a parent or hitting a parent. Now, we're not under the law. God's not wishing you were dead. In fact, I'm going to show you a verse in just a minute where God has made a way for you to be saved even if you've done those things wrong. But you know that God doesn't want you to do those things. Those verses are clear. Now, another verse. Come over to the next book, Leviticus chapter 19. Leviticus chapter 19, and here's a verse that seems to be gone from our society. It says in verse 32, "Thou shalt raise up before the hoary head, and honor the face of the old man, and fear thy God, I am the Lord." Now you say, boy, raise up before the hoary head. A hoary head means a hair full of like snow. You ever see anyone with hair like snow? Look around. You'll see some people sitting right here that have hair just like snow. White hair. And you notice, they'll be the older people too. When they grow older, they get white hair. And that's why it says the man with the hoary head, or it says, and the old man, before the, and honor the face of the old man, and fear thy God, I am the Lord. That is, not only children, but I would say this is speaking not just to children, but to middle-aged people, to hold in high regard the elderly people. They've been there. They can even tell us, middle-age, some things about life and what's really important in life because they've gone through, and the Bible says life is but a vapor, and when it's all over, all the important things are there in your mind, and the things that aren't so important. Husband and wife fought over what they had for dinner. An older person will look and said, that's not worth fighting over. But the husband and wife might say, oh, no, I told her I wanted steak. She made me pork chops or something. But the older person just realizes, listen to me, that's not important. And so we're to raise up and we're to honor the older people. Now that means the younger people need to do that, and there's one way of doing that, and that is to call the older people Mr. and Mrs. In our society, it's a way of causing the kid to say respectful things, therefore they'll respect them. If you call me just Tom and not Mr. Bruchet or Pastor Bruchet, if you just call me Tom, then I'm just like one of your friends, and you'll think of me that way. Children ought to obey their parent, the older, not just their parents they ought to obey. The older people they ought to honor as well as their parents. By the way, kids, here's something that goes on in society that you probably don't know the Bible talks about. Look over in verse 28 of this chapter. It says, ye shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor print any marks upon you, I am the Lord. You know, did you ever see anybody who prints marks on them? They call them tattoos, don't we? And the Bible said to the nation of Israel, when they under the law, God said, don't put any of those marks on you. It was a custom other people have tattoos put on them. The Bible says don't do that. So you just realize the Bible talks about all kinds of things that go on in the world, and you can get God's attitude about that, and you ought to think twice before you get a tattoo. We're not under the law, but we do know God's attitude towards such things. And some people just mark their bodies all up, and our bodies is not ours. Our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Now come over to Deuteronomy chapter 21. Let me show you another one. Deuteronomy chapter 21. Now in Deuteronomy chapter 21, it says in verse 18, If a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when thou hast chastened him, so that means they spank him, supposed to spank him, but even after they chasten him, will not hearken unto them. You try to punish the kid, correct the kid, and he just will not do what's right no matter what, even if you spank him. Then his father and his mother shall lay hold on him and bring him out unto the elders of the city, unto the gate of his place. And they shall say unto the elders of the city, our son is a stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. And the men of the city shall stone him with stones that he die. So shall thou put away from you, from among you, all and all Israel shall hear and fear. That is, they're going to put away evil. That's the word I missed there. Put evil away from you. Why? Even after you correct a kid. Now, everybody's going to make mistakes. But even after you correct him, he's so strong-willed, he will never do right. And when the parents get to the end of the rope, they bring him to the elders of the city, and they put him away. They stone him, that he die, so that they'll put evil out of society and teach people to fear the Lord. Now, that's what God said to do. Now, watch these last two verses in this chapter, will you? It says in verse 22, and if a man have committed a sin worthy of death, and he be put to death, thou shalt hang... let me start the verse again. And if a man have committed a sin worthy of death, and he be put to death, and thou hang him on a tree, rather than stoning him, you hang him, his body shall not remain all night upon the tree, but thou shalt in any wise bury him that day. Why? For he that is hanged is accursed of God. And thy land may not be defiled, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance. Do you know anybody that was hanged on a tree? There's a verse in Galatians chapter 3, it might be verse 13, that said that Jesus Christ died for us under the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, and then it quotes this verse, cursed is he that hangeth on a tree. You can take evil and put it away two ways. You can stone the person, or you can hang him on a tree. And the Bible says if you hang him on a tree, no way at nighttime is he to stay on that tree, because that is an accursed thing. He's cursed of God. Take him down and bury him. Jesus Christ, before it became nightfall, they took him down from the cross and they buried him, because the next day was a holy Sabbath day. But this tells us what happened to Jesus Christ when he was on that cross. The Lord Jesus Christ went to that cross because we all do things that are bad. We've all done bad things, and we're talking about children that are bad here. But Jesus Christ never did a bad thing in his life. He always obeyed his mom and dad every day of his life. And when he became adult, he obeyed God and all the days of his life. And yet when Jesus Christ went to the cross, he became an accursed thing. Let this hand be you and me, represent you and me, and this wallet represent our sins. What's this hand represent? You and me. This wallet represents every time we disobeyed mom and dad, every time we disobeyed God, every time we didn't do what's right, even in our heart when we didn't honor them properly. And the Bible says all of us are sinners. We've all sinned. Well, if we sinned, we're going to have to pay for that sin, and sin is to be separated from God because God is holy. Let this hand be God. He's never done anything wrong. He's holy God. And yet the Bible tells us that God loves us even though we've already all done things wrong. And rather than killing us and making us be separate from him forever, God loved us and showed us how much he loved us when Jesus Christ came down to earth. He was God who became a man, lived absolutely perfectly, and then he went to a cross. And he died on that cross for our sins, and he became a curse for us. That means he paid for everything we did wrong. And he was buried, and then he rose from the dead with no more sin. And now the Bible says that God is being gracious to us, forgiving us all of our sins, if we'll believe that Jesus loved us and died for us and rose from the dead. When you believe that, you can have everlasting life with God. Your sins are put away forever. That's the message of the gospel. So this is why these things aren't being done today, because God has got a message of love. Let me say in close to each child, there's a whole bunch of other things we could have talked about, and I did have you read about Samson for this reason. I'll explain it in just a minute. When you think of all the heroes of the Bible, and kids, ask your parents this week. Ask them about Joseph. Ask them about, who else do I got after Joseph? I don't want to jump to Daniel. Samuel, David, and Daniel. Ask them about those four people. You know, those four people were young people and they had some problems in life, but from a young age they began to honor the Lord. And all, even though everybody will have some kind of problems in life, do you know that life went well for them? And every one of them lived to be an old man. Every one of them. You have examples of a person like Ruth and a person like Ezra for the girls to follow. They had some problems in life, but it went well with them, and they lived long upon the earth. But you know, when it comes to Samson, that poor guy, he rose up and God made him to be a special person for him, and his long hair represented that he served the Lord. But he told his parents he wanted to marry an unbelieving girl, an uncircumcised girl. He made the wrong decision. Parents said, no, wait a minute, that's not right. He said, do it. So he made some wrong decisions in his young life. His dad got him that woman, and that woman caused all kinds of problems for him. He first went out and made a bet with her friends, and as a result of that bet, they came to her and threatened her life, and so she solved the problem so that he would lose the bet, Samson would lose the bet. And as a result of that, Samson lost the bet, and a whole bunch of people died. Then things got even worse than that. Those people, then Samson got away, he went angry, he was mad, and that girl married somebody else. So Samson, not only did people die, but Samson got real angry. He went away for a long time. When he came back, his wife was married to someone else. Now he's really mad, and he's hurt. He lost his wife. So he tries to get even and causes even more problem. And when he got even by burning down the crops, those men went and killed his wife. Now he's even madder yet. Now she's dead. And so he went and killed more people, and then there became a war, a whole nation. Can you imagine? He makes one, his parents say, don't marry this girl. He says, yeah, I want to marry this girl. And as a result, it got worse and worse and worse until there was a whole war. Finally, Samson had one big battle where he killed a whole bunch, 1,000 people with a jawbone and conquered God's enemies. And then his life could start over again, but he went to the wrong girl again. He married Delilah, unsaved girl. Things started all over again. And it ends up, Delilah finds out the secret of his power. And you know what the secret of his power is? It was sown by the long hair, but it was devotion to God. He was dedicated to God. When she found out about that, she told the enemies, and they cut off his hair. And what she really did is she cut off his devotion to God. Those enemies took him and poked out both of his eyes, made fun of him. And he made one last prayer to God and asked for strength. And in that one last prayer, he knocked down the pillars where all the people were, and he killed more people than anybody else at that time. But he also died during that time. And then the last thing it says, he judged Israel 20 years. You know how Samson was? Samson died at the most, he was 50 years old, but he might only live to have been 40 years old. You know what? There's a guy that didn't obey his parents, and it didn't go well with him. His whole life was miserable. And you know what? He didn't live long upon the earth either. Why? Because he didn't believe the things that God has to say. So kids, you still have that choice to make. To decide to do what's right and to honor the Lord in life. And you'll have troubles, but it'll go well with you. And you may live long upon the earth too. And even if you don't, you go home to heaven because Jesus Christ loved you and paid for your sins. Let's pray. Our God and our Father, we thank you for the things that you've taught us today. May they help us all the way through life, not only the children, but help the parents to teach this to the children as well. Thank you for the Lord Jesus who loved us so that we don't ever have to be separated from you in life or in death. In his blessed name we pray. Amen. In closing, why don't we turn to number 2.